And we went down through a few really just spiritual opportunities, but the Lord kind of burdened my heart a couple of weeks ago about the opportunities that He gives us. And tonight we're going to talk about a specific opportunity. And it's taken here from Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. The Bible says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good. You see that? As we have, the Bible says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. All right, so I want to read that again, and I want you to follow along. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Tonight I want to preach a message I've entitled, Inspiring Your Internet Presence. And let's have a word of prayer tonight. Our gracious Heavenly Father, it's been an amazing day, an amazing 24 hours, Lord, for my family, just because you have been so gracious and merciful to bless my little boy with a little boy. And God, I want to say thank you for Chandler's life today. I want to say thank you that he was born healthy and that he was born into a Christian home. And God, I pray that you would bless that home, that you would give guidance and wisdom to Hannah and Austin now to raise that baby boy in the way that he should go. And I pray, Lord, that as they consecrate their lives to you, that you would take that little boy and use him for your glory and honor. And I pray, God, that you'd provide for them. I pray that you'd protect them. Lord, I pray that as a grandfather that I would be able to help in any way that I possibly can. The greatest way, I believe, is that I should just remain faithful to you. And I pray that you'd help me to do that. Lord, I want to say thank you for being faithful always. You are, Lord, you are my God. And you are our God. You are our Savior, our rock, and our refuge. And you have never let us down. Your promises have never failed one time. And we are so grateful for that. We're so thankful that your word is true and that your mercies are ever new. We thank you, God, for another day of life. We thank you for being trustworthy. And God, we are so grateful that we know your name and that you lead us in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. And Lord, tonight as we think about our lives, I pray that you would help us to remember that there are other Christians living all over the world, Lord, that are praying to you tonight, that are preaching for your glory tonight, that are witnessing in the name of Christ tonight. And I think of Brother Kenoshita who needs your guidance, and I pray that you would guide them. Lord, that you would open up an opportunity for that body to have a place, Lord, to meet and to worship in that just that city filled with millions and millions and millions of people all stacked on top of each other. I just pray that you would continue to help them to have a voice and shine a light in that area. And I thank you for getting the Rays back to China and, Lord, for providing for them, Lord, just miracle stories to get them back to China. And I pray that you will encourage them and continue to use them. Brother Ray and his boys have been so faithful in giving the gospel and planting churches and making disciples and really setting an amazing example for the rest of us. And Lord, I just pray that you'd bless them in a place where it's illegal to meet, where it's illegal to preach, it's illegal to witness, and yet they do all of those things faithfully. And for that, I thank you that they would rather, Lord, obey God rather than man. And Lord, because of that, eternity will yield the rewards and the blessings of their effort. And so thank you. I pray that you continue to use them and bless them. And Lord, tonight I pray for our church family, some not feeling well tonight and some not able to watch, some not able to be here, some, Lord, that are perhaps still working. I pray that you'd minister to every heart tonight. And I pray, God, that as your word goes out, that you would give us, Lord, just a sense of your presence tonight. Bless the families of our church. I pray that you would provide for them. And Lord, we trust and know that you give us, Lord, all things to enjoy, and you provide all things at your right hand. And Father, I just pray that you'll continue to do so, and that you'll provide not just monetarily or physically, but God, that you would provide for us spiritually tonight through your word. And I pray that you would help me to get out of your way tonight, and Lord, give me utterance and fill me with your spirit. I pray that you'd use me tonight simply as your mouthpiece. And Lord, I pray that as the message goes forth, that we would listen carefully and that we would do our utmost to please you in every way. And Lord, that you would be glorified. Thank you again for the day of life. Thank you for strength today. Thank you for health. Thank you, Father, just for the joy of knowing that our times are in your hands and that our names are written in your palms. And Lord, that you are in control of all things. We thank you for that. And we can rest tonight peacefully in our heart because of the freedoms that we have. provided by the blood of Christ. We pray in His name for all these things to be used. Amen. Well, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. I'm sure when Paul was inspired to write these words to the Christians at Galatia, that they didn't have internet service. I'm pretty sure they didn't have internet at that time. Public platforms to express personal opinions over an electronic channel of cables and satellites had not yet been invented. Those Christians in that age did not have the opportunity to use what we call the internet as an opportunity to do good unto all men, especially to those who are part of the church. But we, on the other hand, do. We have a different opportunity, some would say a greater opportunity, to do what they could not do. In the first century, when it came to communicating, in person, face to face was usually the method. So you can understand verses like, let your speech be alway with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. Makes sense, because it's talking about physical communication and it's talking about speech. So nobody would have a problem saying, well, Paul's talking about when you talk to somebody. Again, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. They would understand that, man, you know what? The Bible says that the lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doth not so. They get all this because the context of their letter that they got from Paul, whether it was at Galatia or Colossae, or whether God inspired Solomon to do it in Proverbs, like the verses we read, they understand that when you speak to someone, those words have levity. They have power. And they mean something, so you got to be careful with them. Because the greater the opportunity, the greater the stewardship. And so God says, look, these verses made sense to those people in that age with their opportunity, and yet those words exist all the way into our dispensation. Now, these all would be very clearly interpreted and applicable to everyday life. But how, with the advancement of technology, mankind has been unable at times to connect the fact that written words, spoken words, emailed words, or words on a text, or words put out on the information highway are no different than spoken words. Somehow, with the advancements in society, with what we would think of as a more knowledgeable and a more astutely presented Christianity, somehow we've failed to see that the scripture that speaks about speech still applies. Somehow we have disconnected all of that, and we're unable to see how it could be applied to us. No, now more than ever before, the internet has become a sounding board where believers and the unsaved alike have taken the opportunity to be heard. But I'm afraid in some instances, it's not been for good. You see, the caveat here is not only that we would take the opportunity to do something, but it says specifically to do good unto all. In fact, the word men is an italicized just to kind of give you a better understanding. But it doesn't matter whether it's man, woman, boy, or girl. It doesn't matter what day and age. It doesn't matter what the platform. The opportunity that we have to do anything is supposed to be exercised for good, but especially to those who are believers. The Bible uses the word the household of faith, behind the veil of anonymity, as if it has some magical barrier, void of reprieve or recompense. People are saying all kinds of things that unfortunately have no merit whatsoever when it comes to doing good or edifying the body of Christ or lifting up the name of Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, that's not the case. Endeavoring to keep unity and above all having charity or the love of the brethren. All these are not the leading motives behind what is being said online nowadays, unfortunately. They somehow forget what the Bible says is the responsibility of our stewardship concerning our tongue. Though no man can tame it, I'm assured that the scripture says that through the power of the Holy Spirit of God, my tongue can be tamed. Because the Bible says if any man tame his tongue, he is a perfect man. Now we know that the Bible is given to us so that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Now, God saying that then knows that we have the power and the ability to not or to say and or do certain things by the grace and the power of God. Now, instead the leading reason for what is being said is self. People type and post and type and text and type and email and type and do whatever they call it because of self, self-worth. They say what they say for self-praise or maybe for self-righteousness, self-acknowledgement, for self-affirmation, for self-appraisal, for self-betterment, or sometimes even for self-justifying. Now, I'd like to serve as a reminder to all of you tonight who have some form of internet presence that even though the people who see your pictures, who read your posts or follow your life online cannot see you face to face when you send out what absolutely has to be said or shown, God does. Though somebody else may not see you when you say it or may not be able to tell your heart motive or may not be able to get the context of what you're saying when you absolutely have to have some kind of voice online just to be heard, though they may not know all those things, God still does. Because God knows everything. He knows the hearts of men. God does. And I want to remind you that God's word will be the book that judges us all. Jesus said, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak," let me say it this way, "or write or publish in any form, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment." Now, that being said, the opportunity is an amazing opportunity, but with that opportunity comes an amazing stewardship. It used to be said that you should always think before you speak. That was sage advice given to young people. You need to think before you speak. My dad used to say that all the time. I know that's probably hard for some of you to believe, but he would say it all the time. You need to think before you speak because what you're saying shouldn't be said. Doesn't need to be said. It's not the right way to say it. Think before you speak. Used to be said that. Based on what some of you have read online, it's clear that people don't think before they do much of anything today. And when Christians don't think about God's word, when Christians don't acknowledge the Lord Jesus who shall judge the quick and the dead, they don't get the benefit of their opportunity to do good. They don't get that benefit. And neither, by the way, do those who might benefit from the good. The Bible says in Proverbs 16, "The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones." Isn't that just, it just sounds wonderful. Proverbs 22:17, "Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. They shall with all be fitted in thy lips." Proverbs 18:21, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." I hope that you're getting the idea that we cannot disconnect what we say online from what we say in ourselves. Whether we're printing it, whether we're posting it, whether we're tweeting it, or whatever else you call it, whatever platform, whatever you say, you're accountable for. And God says, if you have an opportunity to reach people or to talk to people without them being in your presence, then I'm just saying you better take that opportunity to do good unto all, but especially to those who are the household of faith. So instead of making sure that someone out there in the world of the fiber optic cable, and trying to show them your opinion on a matter, or before you want to add your voice to the, get this, 3.6 billion people who have already spoken online. 3.6 billion people on social media. Before you add your voice to that, would you consider inspiring what you're about to say? Would you consider saying, "Lord, is what I'm about to say necessary? It may be true, and it may be factual, but is it necessary? Is now the right time? Is it really going to help? Could I just get you to stop for a minute before you post and stop before you absolutely have to feel that your one little voice to your 200 or 300 followers is going to mean so much that you would say, you know, Lord, I want this to be for good. I want to take my opportunity to do good unto all men, but especially the Christians that are following me, the Christians that may have this come up on the side of their screen, that they would be helped. There's enough in this world that tears down. There's plenty in the world that tears down. There's plenty of things that are being said by the devil each and every day through his children that have no business being echoed by God's children. There's already enough out there that's to be torn, tearing down people. There's enough. The people of God are called to build up. And it's time that we take the opportunity to do it. If the internet is our opportunity to do good, especially to those who are believers, then we're responsible for our stewardship, for the stewardship of it. And we should take what we say online seriously. So let me give you just a few suggestions tonight. Can I do that? Of how to inspire your internet presence. And God's given you that opportunity. Man, if you have internet access and you have some kind of social media platform, I just want to encourage you in a few ways tonight, hopefully try to inspire you through the Word of God so that you can inspire your own internet presence and hopefully reach out to somebody and be a source of light rather than a part of the darkness and reach out and try to help somebody. So first of all, if you're going to inspire your internet presence, number one, just blog about blessings. Blog about blessings. You know, there's enough negative, sky-falling, Debbie Downer information out there, and I can't stop what the unsaved people might be saying. I certainly can't. But I can certainly ask you to stop, if you are. I can ask you, as a child of God, for the name and sake of Jesus Christ, don't be like the world. Don't join the world's conversation. Don't do it the way the world would. You're not of the world. You're not of the darkness. You're of the light. You've been saved. You've been redeemed. You have promises. You have the Holy Spirit of God. So whatever you're saying or doing ought not to be like those that don't have the same blessings. If you've been born again, you've been blessed. Did you know that? You've been blessed beyond this world's understanding. And every day you wake up alive brings with it the blessings of God. And you should share those blessings every day with a little effort. Find one blessing. And then meditate on it, and then highlight it, and then elaborate on it, and then adorn it with some special appreciation, and then highlight it on your platform. You know, then as God impresses your heart, do it again. Now, I'm not saying you have to do this every day. I'm not saying now all of a sudden we're going to become professional bloggers and we're going to have all these thousands of followers. I'm not saying that. What I'm simply saying is if you want to blog about something, blog about blessings. Put it in such a way and take some time. There are people, some of you have the knack of setting a truth in a picture. You have that ability. People sitting in this room have that ability. You could very easily take a few minutes and really form a beautiful picture of God's blessing in your life if you just took the opportunity to do it. So you don't have to do it every day, but let's say you did it twice a week. Let's say you took two blessings a week. Even if it was one blessing a week and you put it out there and then every time you had a chance to look at it and you were reminded of it, don't you think that would be doing pretty good for yourself, for those people that may be there looking at it and reading it? And I hope you don't make it a habit to read all the negative and pass over all the positive. I hope you make it a habit to be drawn to the light and not the darkness. I hope that you make it a habit to take the opportunity for that. The goal must never be about how many times, of course, someone reads your blog or how many times it's been shared or how many times it's been commented on. The only goal should be that God is honored in all of it. Blog about blessings. Psalm 24 and verse 3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive, listen, the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Psalm 29 and verse 11, the Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. If you've ever had peace in your life, doesn't matter what the situation is. If you've ever had the strength of God because you have trusted in the Lord with all your heart, why don't you tell someone about it? Why don't you put it in the context of that time frame and share that? Don't you think that would do a whole lot better than what's been out there already? Psalm 40 and verse 4, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Now, when you account for, when you display, when you discuss the blessings of God, you know what it does? It affects other people. I normally, at this time, I always go to the same passage in Acts where Paul came back from a missionary journey and they gathered church together and they rehearsed all that God had done. I think that's been overused, not overused, but used a lot and habitually in this setting. But I found another portion of scripture where I could point to and say, you know, God, when someone testifies of the blessings of God, it really does affect other people. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 5, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Listen, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, amen, amen, with lifting up of their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. What did Ezra do? He just simply called attention to God. He said, this is our God. This is who he is. This is what he does. And it's not just affecting others. Do you understand? When we acknowledge him in all our ways, we're blessed with light and more of it. The Bible says, in all thy ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. The idea is that if I have the opportunity to put something out there for everyone to read, why don't I let them read about how great our God is? We have a great God. We have an amazing God. We have a God who is ever faithful. And I just think he's worthy to be read about, don't you? I think he's worthy to be written about, blog about blessings. Secondly, post about promises. Not just the blessings of God, but find ways to weave the word of God and get it out there. It's the most important thing going. It is the truth. It's the power of God. It's more quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and it discerns the thoughts and intents of our heart. Nothing else out there can do what God's word does. That's why they call it the book of books, the Bible. And so keeping Christians focused has always been challenging for every pastor, but now more than ever. In the context of just these last week and a half in this new year, everyone is being bombarded with information, curiosities, pleasures. What's going on? What's not going on? Why is this happening? Why isn't this happening? Call all kinds of complaints, all kinds of forums, all kinds of voices. Posting God's promises, especially ones that are personally encouraging to you, will do the same to somebody else. Ones that you've tried yourself, ones that have proven helpful to you. Don't you think that there may be somebody out there that may have gone through something similar to you that could just need that promise at that one click? And because of you, you put it out there. And you took that opportunity to do good. Your internet presence is an opportunity to share God's word from personal experience. So share your experience with God's word. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 1, the Lord God of your fathers make you 1,000 times so many more as you are and bless you, listen, as he hath promised you. Moses is saying to the children of Israel, listen, I want God to bless you, but he's going to bless you because he promised to do so. He's going to keep all of your promises. You mean that's actually a blessing from God that he is always faithful to his word? Yes. You can take it to the bank. I have on my desk, Charles Spurgeon wrote it's called the checkbook of God's promises. The checkbook of God's promises. So one a day I can open up and I can take a promise of God and I can hold it up as a promissory note and say, God, do as thou hast said. Every day, God's promises can be used as a true promissory note. Why? Because he's the one that promised. He's the only one that can fulfill it. 2 Kings 8 and verse 19. Yet the Lord would not destroy Judah for David, his servant's sake, as he promised him to give him alway a light and to his children. You know that God is bound by his own promises. And here's the cool part. He doesn't mind. He doesn't mind. Why? Because circumstances and world events or personal issues don't change God's word. It never changes. Always remember that circumstances do not negate the promises of God. Instead, they highlight them. Psalm 37 and verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. Do you realize how many promises are just in those six verses? in just those six verses alone, David is, and what's he doing? He's writing from experience. I have been young and now I'm old. And here's what I found out. God's always faithful. God's always showed up. God's always answered my prayer. He's never left me. He's always provided me a way. Post about promises, blog about blessings. Number three, if you're going to take the opportunity to be on the internet, why don't you gloat about God for a while? That's one thing to talk about his promises, but just gloat about God. You know, as human beings, we have no real difficulty bragging. We really don't. We have no problems or difficulty or inhibitions to brag about our sports teams. We have no problems bragging about the fish we've caught. We have no problems bragging about the miles we've run or the weight that we've lost or the days, how many days we've exercised or the meals that we've eaten or even the meals that we've cooked. Just look at the internet at all that's been accomplished and ask yourself, the fact of the matter is, do I have any problem bragging about how great I am at something, or do I have any problem calling attention to the enormous blessing I am to people? And yet, how many times are people just getting on the internet and they're sitting it out there? They must think pretty highly of themselves by what you read. Most of the time, calling attention to ourselves and our opinions comes with very little effort at all, which is why the Bible says things like this. Proverbs 27, let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth, a stranger and not thine own lips. Proverbs 25, 27, it's not good to eat much honey, so for men to search their own glory, it's not glory. 2 Corinthians 10, 18, for not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. You know what Paul was looking for? God's commendation medal. Paul was looking for the God-approved life, that his life could be commended, that his life could be shown to others as an example. That's what Paul was looking for. He wasn't looking for the peer likeness or someone to say, hey, I want you to look at me. This is, and this, now we're sharing all this opinion. And now these are all these are all the shared opinions and they're all alike. But why not share our opinion of our God? Instead of trying to get people to like or disseminate our opinion so that we could be the originator of some quote or thought. Wow, where did you get that from? Oh, so-and-so sent to me. Oh, that's cool. He must be really... Why don't we try to point people to God? As a Christian who's been touched by the grace of God, our bragging, our boasting, our swagger should bring attention to God, not ourselves. That's the whole key. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. I am as a wonder in the many, but thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. You know, the only refuge you really have as an individual is in God alone. That's the only refuge you really have. You can't hide from all the evil, even in your own home. You can't hide from all of the things that are happening in America. Our only hope and refuge is in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is Lord God Almighty. It's our only hope. Psalm 111 and verse 3, his work is honorable. His work is glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. You see, as the Lord looks at your internet presence and all that has been said over the last 10 months, does he see honor to his name? Does he see praise and glory to God? Is that the goal? He said, well, I don't put what I put out there to lift myself up. I just put what I put out there to tear someone I disagree with down. Is there any difference? Surely not. The only reason you tear down someone else is to make yourself feel better about yourself. You see, the fact of the matter is, his name must be set as the top motivation for what you and I print, for what we text, for what we post. Am I giving honor and glory to God? Is my life bringing glory to God? That's what we're created to do. Can I suggest that you take the opportunity to use your internet presence as a platform to call attention to the God that formed you in your mother's womb? to the God that redeemed you by the blood of his own sinless son, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, listen, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Isn't it interesting that though Paul never had the internet, that at the end of everything that he wrote and sent out for the world to see, that would be read throughout the ages, always, always, always ended and began with the glory and the honor of God Almighty. That is awesome. The proof is in the text. Just read it. Read how he opens his letters. Read how he closes his letters. And you'll say, sandwiched in between there is that motive. What was Paul's life? To bring honor and glory and majesty and praise to the King of Kings, who's worthy of it all. Can I suggest that your internet presence, then, number four, just simply reflect righteousness? That it would reflect righteousness. When you gloat about God, when you post about promises, when you blog about blessings, make sure that the rest of it all matches, that it reflects righteousness. In a day and age when Christianity is being redefined to fit the world's standards, your web presence should plainly reflect the Bible standard of your relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what your internet presence should reflect, is your relationship with Christ. Your pictures, your words, your destinations, your associations. I'll say it again, your pictures should match your words. Your destinations, your associations should form a comprehensive portrait of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If people ask you, you're a Republican or a Democrat, you should say, I'm a Christian. I'm a Bible-believing Christian. Well, what does that mean? I was thinking about this on my walk today. What does that mean? That means that I believe that God created us all, and that he created a man and a woman and called it good. I believe that God creates life and he takes life. I believe that he sovereignly governs in the affair of mankind. I believe that there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ alone. And I believe the word of God to be perfect and true and inspired. And I believe it to be preserved for us today. I believe that it's light. And I believe that the only hope that we have in this life is through Jesus Christ, who gives us hope in the next as well. That's what I am. I believe that the unborn child that is aborted is murder. That's what I believe. I believe that anything that alters God's word is a lie. Because there's only one truth. There's only one faith, because there's only one God. Therefore, there's only one baptism. There's only one hope of salvation. I believe that. That's who I am. And my internet presence should reflect that. It should form a comprehensive portrait of my relationship with the great God of heaven. Don't be a stumbling block to other Christians who want to please the Lord. Be an example. Notice the text again. Especially unto them who are the household of faith. Why? Because those people are going to be affected also. People who you go to church with, people that you text with, people that you've eaten with, people with that have been in your homes, they're going to be affected by what you say. Don't be a stumbling block. Be an example. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame. Isn't that? It says, who mind earthly things. Boy, if there's anything that can be said of internet traffic, it's that it minds more earthly things than it does heavenly things. For our conversation, he said, is in heaven. That word conversation is our citizenship. I am a child of the living God. My home is in heaven. That's my permanent address. This is just temporary building. I am living in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. My challenge to you is that your social media footprint be distinctively Christian. And use your opportunity online to show people what a committed Christian looks like and sounds like. Number five, and I'm done. If you'll do all that, you're probably going to get some kickback, but rejoice in it. Rejoice in reproach. If you want to inspire your internet presence, Just rejoice in the fact that if you take a solid, biblical, holy, motivated to God's glory line on your internet presence, somebody's not going to like it somewhere. There are people who obviously don't care what people think or how it affects the body of Christ. Just read what they post. Some people just don't care. And that's a bad heart. That's a bad heart that either needs to be saved or a bad heart that needs to come home. Amen. That's just the facts. But if you start to blog about blessings, the blessings that come from God's hand, or if you are faithful in posting God's promises that have touched your family, or you just decide that you can't stop talking about the greatness of Almighty God because you're overwhelmed with your Bible experience, and someone takes offense, then takes a swipe at you online or otherwise, rejoice. Because Jesus said, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say or text or print or post all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." You see, God summed it up there. Not all persecution, not all reviling is worthy of rejoicing. Just what we do for Jesus' sake. When I live for Jesus' sake, the world takes notice. And they don't like it. Jesus said, rejoice. 1 Corinthians 4:12, and labor working with our own hands, being reviled, listen, we bless. Being persecuted, we simply suffer it. Mark it down, a negative response from the unsaved or one from the backslidden means you're doing something right. And for that, rejoice. Rejoice, but don't respond to your critics. You don't have to. All you have to do is respond to God. You can simply rejoice and not even respond. 1 Peter 2:23, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. Jesus is the prime example. When they reviled him, by the way, if the internet would have existed during Jesus' crucifixion, not only would everybody have seen it, everybody would have commented and Jesus would have never sent one back. He'd have never pushed reply. He would have never pushed post. As a lamb led to the slaughter, he just went to Calvary. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he didn't threaten. In fact, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Isn't that amazing? See, I believe with all my heart, if the Christians who have the freedom and ability and opportunity to do good through their online presence, if they would better steward their opportunity, that more people would be helped rather than discouraged. This world needs more good. And believers are the ones that possess it. And if we would just steward our opportunity better, there would be so much good. It could actually make a difference. More people would be curious than contemptible. More people, the more faithful I am, the more I don't jump into the conversations that just lead down this rabbit hole that cause more contention than encouragement. The more people would be curious rather than contemptible. Man, I just noticed you never respond to this. I just noticed you don't even care what's going on. It just seems like your head is always in the clouds. Like your affections are always set on things above. Like you have a better place to be. Like you have a mind that doesn't even care what's going on. You just simply, the only thing that matters to you is your relationship to God. Yes. Amen. You get it. You found me out. More people would be curious. More people would be inspired than depressed. Notice our text again. Can I encourage you with these words? Galatians 6 and verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all. But especially unto them who are the household of faith. May God help us to be better stewards of what we say, print, text, or post. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your ordained word, and I thank you so much, Lord, that you're always right. I thank you, God, that even when we're wrong, Lord, that you're always willing to help us make it right. God, my prayer tonight is for all those on social media that they would take a look at their last 10 months of traffic. And Lord, that they would perhaps even remove those things that would not bring honor to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would remove those things that would be contemptible to the body of Christ, your church, your bride, that they would retract or even ask for forgiveness for the things that have been hurtful for the name of Christ and for your people. And God, I'm so thankful that I don't have an internet presence, so I don't even know who those people are. I'm so grateful, God, that you know all things. And I pray, God, that you would help us to be faithful stewards. It's required of a steward that a man be found faithful. And I pray that you would help us to stop and think. Lord, I pray that you would purify our motives, that the opportunities that we have would be used for good for all, but especially to those that are of the household of faith. May we not be contemptible. Rather, help us to be encouraging and edifying. Lord, I pray that you would help our internet presence to be a sum total of our experience and our relationship with you. And in all of it, God, we just want you to be glorified. May 2021 be a different year on the information highway, at least from a Christian's social media platform. Help us, Lord, to edify one another. Help us, Lord, to remember that you've never forsaken those that seek you. Help us to share that in a very intimate way. I was just thinking tonight, Lord, of the testimony that was given to me about a good report. Hey, that's all because of you. And Lord, we praise your name for that. We praise your name for healing and for strength and for grace every single day. And Lord, for all that we've received at thy right hand, God, we owe it to you that whatsoever we do, whether we eat or drink or post or tweet, that we would do it to the glory of God. Thank you for your word. Thank you for helping us to take your truth and put it in the context of this age. I pray you'd help us to live toward it. We ask all this in Jesus' precious name and for his sake. Amen.